This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com. From the loosest slots in the state to one of the most comfortable poker rooms in South Florida, enjoy their smoke-free casino at HialeahParkCasino.com.
All right. There he is, locked and loaded and ready to go. How you feeling, baby? You feeling good?
Big O, I'm good. I got 2 weeks of vacation coming up. Feeling good about that. I'm gonna get out of this cold. Looking forward to it. Yeah.
So one of the hot topics, and I don't know if you were able to see it, but Mike McDaniel had a sit down with Mike Silver, and I thought it was really, really good. And it's weird because Mike McDaniel has human qualities that normal coaches don't have. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things. They're like compare Belichick to Mike McDaniel, and there's like, okay, Belichick he's AI, right? He's really not human. He's right.
You would never guess that those two were in the same profession.
No, yeah, but seriously, absolutely. we could do an AI Belichick, and nobody would know the difference with the way he answers things. Yeah. Right? He could be a complete robot, and nobody would know. But McDaniel is a human being. But I don't know. Did you get to see that conversation, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely phenomenal. So I know Mike Silver a little bit and have worked with him in the past, and he's obviously a gifted interviewer. In the clip that you're discussing, he does such a good job of just like staying out of the way and letting Mike McDaniel roll, because McDaniel is so, I mean, you said it, like, it is just so common, and you hear it with high school coaches, college coaches, coaches at every level. They tend to, because it's efficient, they tend to speak in sort of trite aphorisms and cliches, and they lean hard into things that have been said before, and they all have slogans. And you can listen to him talk for a half an hour, and he's got none of it. He's just got none of it. It's all super thoughtful. And he is very much his own man. Like, whatever, he's got that like Mitch Hedberg delivery too. Like, you don't, yeah, you know, you don't even think that you're listening to a coach as you're listening to him. But he's got, you know, he's got a wisdom and a clarity to him. It's just phenomenal. And the part that you specifically had recommended to me was the discussion of Tua. And that's another thing. There's so many things that are buried in the discussion of Tua. But just the idea of a coach using like tape study and time together to build up a player and to highlight to a player all of the things that they do well and their strengths. And obviously, even down to the level of detail that he was, you know, his description of Tua more as a point guard and a distributor than necessarily, you know, he's obviously, I think we all know, he's not like the Josh Allen, Cam Newton type of quarterback. He's not a whole lot of different types of quarterbacks, but like McDaniel found specific throws that Tua makes with regularity that are like high level, super advanced throws, and cut together a reel full of them and showed them to the staff and showed them to Tua. And it was just, I don't know, that stuff is fun to hear about, because and they'd alluded to this in the interview. Tua had a lifetime of film sessions just being full of like
berated.
Constructive, yeah. But yeah, and that's what it is. That's what a lot of coaching is, right? It's right. Like, hey, here's some things that you did wrong, and let's talk about them. And McDaniel talks a little bit about how Tua was ill prepared to just sit down and watch like 150 clips of him doing things right.
Right. Yeah. You know, he thought he was being set up. Like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? When's the shoe gonna fall here? This is too nice. I'm not used to this. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
There's also a point in the interview where McDaniel makes reference to, you know, and it's not, I don't think that Mike McDaniel's going out of his way to insult anybody, but he makes reference to this idea that like, what if Tua were making these throws, but to receivers who could actually get open? Yeah. You know, he comes really close to saying that, and I'm like, oh man, boy, that tough scene for Devontae Parker and Isaiah.
Well, that's how it was for a couple of years. He had no separation. It was his stats actually. He was the best in the NFL in tightest windows during that time, which shows you again why he's a great passer. Which is the part that people miss. But here's the part of that conversation that I trip out on the most for all the so-called insiders right? If you listen to McDaniel talk, he was convinced with Tua from the get-go. He loved Tua. He wanted Tua. Yeah. He went all the way out. And yet, you have all these idiots reporting that they're trying to trade him, that they're looking with this guy and that guy. And yes, I get it. Bruce Beal, who this weekend, did you see this weekend what happened with Bruce Beal, the former Dolphin owner?
Oh, no.
Well, there was a picture of him hanging out with his kids and Brady and his kids hanging out on his boat. So it wasn't Chris Greer that wanted Brady. It was Bruce Beal convincing Stephen Ross, hey, let's go. He's my buddy. We can go get him. And it didn't happen. It wasn't the front office. It wasn't Mike McDaniel. They hired a guy named Brian Flores. Well, I broke the story a long time ago that Brian Flores never wanted Tua. And he wanted Jordan Love. Okay? So he never was on the Tua bandwagon from the get-go. So then that's what Tua had to fight for 2 years, right? And so now you look at everything going on and you see McDaniel's response to everything and then everybody reporting all this kind of crap, and it just shows you that all those reports were wrong. Not about Bruce Beal and Stephen Ross, not about Brian Flores wanting Watson, but anybody that thought that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel ever veered from Tua. I mean, Chris Greer just had to take orders from the owner. If your owner comes to you and says, yeah, I know you got Tua, but I want to get Tom Brady, what are you going to say? No, sir, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You'll get fired right there on that spot. Okay, sir, no problem. If that's what you want to do, I mean, what's Chris Greer going to do at that moment? You can't argue with your boss. You're going to lose that war every time. So to me, that's the funniest part of it all, that if you listen to McDaniel, while McDaniel's been here from day one, you can tell he has been committed to Uno from the get-go. And then after watching that interview, nobody, including Josina Anderson, should be reporting that they're trying to move away from Tua.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you can't possibly listen to that and feel for a moment that the coach isn't anything less than 100% committed to Tua. Probably for the rest of his tenure as the Dolphins coach. The other thing that it displays, I think, is just the value of looking at players, looking at anything with fresh eyes, with your own eyes, right? Instead of just sort of borrowing the shorthand from the rest of the herd and from what everybody else is saying. And then also it speaks to being able to, you know, and this is hard to do. This is hard for anybody to do in almost in any walk of life to try to highlight the positives in any person or any situation, because that is clearly what McDaniel is doing when he's watching tape, right? Like he is zeroing in on the things that are going well, that Tua does exceptionally well, instead of trying to create a checklist of things that, you know, things that he wishes he had in a quarterback or things that he's not doing well. I mean, they're Tua's strengths are undeniable strengths, and have, you know, displayed themselves on the field again and again, particularly last year when he was healthy. And they, you know, it was just refreshing to listen to him discuss the idea of not just building up a player, but, assembling a roster. And this, you and I have talked about this at various times with regard to different players around the league. Like, it's never as the NFL is just never as simple as like dropping a guy into a situation and let's go. There are very few players like that, if any. It takes years. It certainly takes months to build up a roster around a skill set, around a particular type of player. And it's, I don't know, just be refreshing as a Dolphins fan to hear that they have a sort of multi-year commitment to coach and player and system, and they're going to build the whole damn thing around what Tua does really well. And he does specifically do some things really well. The other thing I'll say about that interview that is not related to Tua is listening to Coach McDaniel talk about how for however many years, you know, he was so focused on the idea of ascending in a very linear way up the coaching ranks, and I got to be a head coach, and how, you know, opportunity really found him when he finally just sort of let go of that and said, you know, man, if I just do my job well, if I just live in these moments and I do my job well each day, you know, the opportunities are going to be there. I just thought that was a really, you know, I'm putting it in a very cliched way. He never says anything that way, but it was that was a phenomenal conversation as well.
Yeah, it was an excellent conversation. And you know how he treats Tua and every player, by the way, because he does it that way. It's the way his mom treated him. And I don't know how he talked about his mom would be about positive reinforcement, that you can do anything, that you can be this, you can. And so that's what he learned from his mom, and he felt that that's how he should be. It's not a Tua thing. That's how he is with everybody. He's not there to, you know, just slam you for every negative thing, because that's usually what most coaches are. Very few compliments. And it's usually all about what you did wrong. And then when they don't tell you anything, it's like, oh, okay, I must be doing everything right, which is kind of demoralizing that they at least don't give you positive reinforcement like anybody should. You know, your boss, your teacher, your parent, or your coach should, you know,
tell you. It's not restricted to his own players either. I will. Right. One of my favorite moments from last season as just an NFL fan was in the Bears game. When you know, Justin Fields obviously running wild against the Dolphins, and Mike McDaniel drops that stop it on him, like after a big first down, that's just refreshing, and it's not something that you see from a lot of NFL coaches, that he maintains that perspective and that sense of humor, and then he's fundamentally always the same guy. He's the same guy when he's coaching as when he's being interviewed as when he's, you know, it's great. It's absolutely great. He's my favorite NFL head coach right now.
I think he's a lot of people's favorite head coach outside of the Dolphin Nation. I'm saying out of the other 31 teams, maybe Patriots, Jets, and Bills fans won't say it, but the other fan bases, you'll hear people say that they like him. Well, let me tell you something, dude. The Blue Light Special is out, and I got it. You're laughing, but I don't know. Your Bears are probably lining up right now as we speak. Odell Beckham has lowered his asking price from $20 million to $15
million. Yeah, it's
The Bears are going to sign him, right? 50. That's a bargain, bro. Come on. Unreliable, injured.
He's a really fun player, and the NFL is pretty fun when Odell Beckham is doing good things. Double ACL injuries are the track record there is not great, right? So I'm sure that he's not getting the kind of offers that he wants to get. He's almost certainly going to have to take some sort of short-term prove it offer. I hope it goes well for him. I can't imagine any team looking at him thinking, oh, this is a transformative player for us at this point. I mean, it'd be great if he could get back to being something like even the Odell Beckham that we saw, you know, in the Super Bowl would be phenomenal. It's a long road back from your second version of this injury. So I can't imagine anybody's really gonna I keep seeing all this Jets stuff, and like the Jets have a star in Garrett Wilson, so
yeah,
Beckham there would be a little bit of a sideshow. Like there's not quite much question in my mind that the version of Odell Beckham that we see in 2023 is not going to be half as good as Garrett Wilson, who is just, and that's all, that's entirely about Wilson.
And by the way, Breece Hall is freaking beast. Okay,
yeah.
So they got two guys that are really nasty on that offense that are really, really talented players. You don't need the last thing you want to do if you're the Jets is put that guy in that mix with the rest of those young guys there. Those are the guys that should be getting the ball and all that. This guy is just going to get in your way, really, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless this is some stupid Aaron Rodgers thing, that, you know, he just wants to bring in a veteran receiver because he's, you know, he's gone through the ringer for years.
It kind of sort of reeks of Aaron Rodgers. This is probably an Aaron Rodgers thing, would be my guess.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because the way that they've been building their team, it's not by adding older players. They've actually been building through the draft. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't see them, you know, it has to be an Aaron Rodgers type thing. But that guy, he's going to have to – I think he'll sign like a – $3-5 million deal and then loaded with incentives. I don't think anybody's going to pay him. I don't even think anybody's going to pay him $8 or $10 million a year, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I'm sure that those are the offers that he's fielding right now are incentive laden, super short term. Maybe the team has an option on a second year or something like that. But there's no way that somebody's laying out 3 years for Odell Beckham right now.
No, I'm with you there. That's it's absolutely crazy if they think that that's going to end up happening. How do you think this Lamar Jackson thing ends up, bro?
It's wild. I've been pretty firmly a believer that he would stick with the Ravens. I can't believe some of the reporting about it. You and I have talked this situation at length. It again, I will say that it is revealing, in case this wasn't already known, the actual value and the actual job of having an agent. It would be super helpful to him. That seems pretty clear to me. I can't believe that it's gotten to this point where a team that sort of built its entire offense around the unique, we were just talking about it with Tua, about building an offense about the unique, around the unique talents of a singular player. They've done it. And the idea that he wants to, like, I respect the idea that he wants as much guaranteed money as he possibly can. I think it's a little bit of a sham that NFL Players Association over many years has put themselves in a situation where they get so little guaranteed money. So I appreciate what he's after. It's just kind of nuts that we're at this point. I don't like to just have like the knee jerk reaction where you're like, oh, it's collusion. That's the reason why every team in the league isn't interested. But I cannot for the life of me tell you why, like, Atlanta isn't making an extraordinary offer to Lamar Jackson. They don't have a quarterback. Like, I don't know. I didn't see a lot of.
I've had to mention this a couple times in different interviews, and I think this is one thing that you might be overlooking a little bit here. Not every coach and not every offensive coordinator wants to run that offense. And that's
Maybe Atlanta wants more of a passer. So close to running it, like, you just look at their tendencies. They're already a team that wants to run the ball twice as often as they pass the ball. They're not even trying to have a dynamic passing offense. And maybe that's about the limitations of the quarterbacks they had last year.
Right, but that's what it is.
You would be talking about plugging him into an offense that was already being run by Marcus Mariota, and I can firmly tell you that Lamar Jackson is better at all the Mariota stuff. Oh,
of
than
course,
Mariota is.
Of course, but so remember they had Matt Ryan there for 20 years, so they had a pure passer, and that's the question. Maybe they just went through the Mariota mess and all that other crap they went last year, but that's not where they really want to go. They just that was stopgap in that first year of the transition.
I buy that with so many teams, like when, you know, we're talking about it with the Colts, and like the Colts are just obviously, I mean, Lamar's great, but you're talking about a major philosophical shift if you're going from what they were trying to do last year to having Lamar Jackson at the controls. Most teams, it's the same way. But my God, like Atlanta is a team that is very clearly without a quarterback. And I get that they have to continue saying nice things about Desmond Ridder, who is surely not going to be their quarterback in 5 years. I don't know. He's fine. He's totally fine. But Lamar Jackson is a very different plane than Desmond Ridder. I can't believe that they are not interested. But they were among the first teams to like withdraw themselves from any of the Lamar Jackson stuff, which is just, it remains shocking to me.
Well, maybe they're going to go in the draft.
Yeah. To me, there's like two guys that are pretty close to sure things, and I'm not even sure that Young is a sure thing because he's so little. But I feel good about Stroud. I feel good about Young, and there are probably some surprises in there. But those are the
What about if they want to go Richardson at eight?
Yeah. Well, go get Lamar if you want to
Yeah. But Lamar, you have to trade picks and give him a whole bunch of money guaranteed. Anthony Richardson is a youngin, and he's going to sign a rookie contract, and you're going to control him for 5 years, and then you get to develop. And you're not ready to compete right now anyway if you're the Atlanta Falcons. So you're not – to bring Lamar Jackson over, it's not like you're really a contender anyway when you bring him over. So you're more of a rebuilding team. You're more Anthony Richardson at number eight than you are Lamar Jackson.
I do hope Richardson is a really exciting player, and
I think it's a completely dangerous player to take.
I root for the Josh Allen stories, but like, I don't know, some of the stuff that you like, who pardon me, who gives a shit that a quarterback can has a 40-inch vertical leap? Like, how often is your quarterback asked to jump 40 inches in the air? Like, it is just like a lot of the stuff that is wowing people is just simply not important. Like, it's awesome that he can throw the ball 85 yards in the air or whatever, but you don't, there are no slow developing 85 yard routes in the NFL. Like, it's just not a thing. It's cool that he can do it.
Yeah. I think he's a dangerous player to take. Very dangerous.
He requires extraordinary coaching. I mean, he was, you know, simple fact of the matter is he was like a 53-54% completion rate guy in college. There's a lot of work to do here.
And he's coaching still ain't going to help you, maybe. You know what I mean? It's up to him. We don't even know if he has the accuracy when it's all said and done. I would not take him that early. But he's so talented. You and I know somebody's going to be drunk his talent and say, I can make him a quarterback. I can make him a great player.
The clock is really ticking, like, because you've got to maximize the rookie contract with these guys. And it's going to take a year. It's going to take a year and a half to, I would imagine, to get Richardson to a point that you're comfortable, like, saying to him, okay, go win us a football game. Like, he's just, in my view, a little bit further than, like, or further away than, like, Stroud and Young from being able to be dropped into a team and like, okay, we go get us to 31 points today. Like, I can't imagine the current version of Anthony Richardson getting there in the NFL. I can see it with Stroud. I can absolutely see it. I mean, you don't, like, you just watch the Georgia game. Like, that guy's going to be a good quarterback in my mind, year one.
He's the guy I like out of this group is Stroud. He's the guy that I would.
Yeah. So the eye test guy. He's the guy who checks all the boxes in terms of, like, you know, combine measurables and all that. And his best games are literally against the best opponents that were available in college football. Right. Like, that Georgia game is sort of a masterclass.
Amazing. All right. What do you got going on Yahoo, folks? So folks can check you out, my friend.
Well, hell, it's opening day. We got a lot of baseball content out there. Also, the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast is still rolling a couple times a week, so please check that out.
All right, there you go. And follow him on Twitter, @AndyBarons. Andy, we will catch up next week, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Big O. Appreciate you.
You got it. There you go. Andy Barons. Appreciate him as always. We're going to get Alan Poupart on in a couple minutes here. Let's take a quick break. You got something? What do you got?
Marlins opened up, leadoff single.
Ooh.
Next pitch, double play.
Ah. There we go. Who got the single? The Minnesota kid? Okay. All right. At least we got a hit. You know, can't complain there. We got at least one hit. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, it was Reyes getting the hit. Yeah, he's going to get on base. That kid's going to get on base. So, that was a nice trade, bro. That was a really nice trade with Minnesota. I like it. The only problem is you're going to need to drive him in. So getting on base don't mean shit. You don't have the people to drive them in, unfortunately, man. That's the part that sucks. By the way, they're giving away a Mercedes-Benz here at Hialeah Park, man. All right? So they're giving away on April 1st, April Fool's Day. That's Saturday.
Saturday night.
So you got to be here Saturday night at 1 o'clock in the morning. So come on out here Saturday. You got to be here live to win the Mercedes.
Saturday
into Sunday. I'm going to be here, okay? I'm going to come out here with the wife. And we're going to see if we win the Mercedes, because we've already played a couple times. So I'll be out here. So if you do come out here Saturday, say hi to me, all right? So give us send me a DM or something or whatever. But we'll be out here. And who knows, man? You might win a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, they've got second floor poker room here, loaded TVs. The ladies, lovely ladies serving you drinks and food, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to have a chicken sandwich today before I get out of here. I love the chicken sandwich here. And then we've got, of course, downstairs, man, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of slot machines and the loosest slots in all of Florida. All right. Highest payouts right here at Hialeah Park. Smoke-free casino. And we also have the smoking hot slots, which outside, it's under roof, and it's got a whole bunch of ventilation and all that. So if you want to bring your your cigar, your cigarette, your, what's it called, vape pen. Enjoy yourselves while you're playing the smoking hot slots outside. So check it out here at Hialeah Park. And don't forget, Dade County Youth Fair, a proud sponsor of our program. We were there yesterday. We'll be there again next Wednesday, 4 to 7 p.m. Go try the pickle lemonade, the bacon pineapple burger, the Mexican street corn pizza, the chorizo jalapeno pizza, the wizard deep fried milkshake. We had the banana pudding yesterday. Damn, that thing was, that's the best banana pudding I have. Well, I couldn't eat it because of damn pork. That's the best banana pudding I have ever had in my life. Now, I am the guy that's only had banana puddings that are from, what's those things that we tear up in the little plastic cups, and they're banana pudding and chocolate and vanilla? Swiss Miss, right? It's Swiss Miss.
No.
Yes, it's Swiss Miss.
Swiss Miss is cocoa, isn't it?
Hot but they cocoa? Have they have other flavors.
Oh, do they?
I think they okay. do. And then there's another brand, too, besides Swiss Miss. Because maybe Swiss was,
like
was only chocolate.
And all those, like the yogurt company.
There was somebody else. But anyways, those are the only ones I've ever had.
Yeah.
But this was, because this is like real bananas. And like you could see and taste.
It's grandma's
recipe, whatever it is.
Yeah, grandma's recipe of banana pudding.
Whatever grandma's recipe is, it's badass, dude. You got to go
try. You know
how
long it's been since I had Nilla wafers, too, by the way?
Oh, yeah, it comes with a Nilla wafer. I love the Nilla wafer. Love it. They've got the salted caramel fudge. You can build your own sandwich. The Cubano Churro they've got out there, folks. They've got the circus, the Ex-Pogo stunt show. They've got the dueling pianos. All kinds. Man, they've got all kinds of shows, performances, prizes, all kinds of stuff at the Dade County Youth Fair. It runs through April 9th. So get on out there and check it out, Dade County Youth Fair. Is Poopart there yet? He's there? All right, let's go. Let's unleash the man. Let's get to our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report.
Dolphins fans, time to get insight on your favorite team with your favorite reporter with an Expos hat. Sports Illustrated's Alan Poopart in our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report exclusively on the Big O Radio Show.
All right, there he is, the man, the myth, the legend. Hold on, we got to get that youth fair billboard out of his face.
There we go.
There we go.
Might be an improvement, though, actually. Who knows?
By the way, I got to ask you.
Ask me.
Bro, I've been watching videos, YouTube videos of people that go there. I've been trying to read up on some stuff. Your former hometown doesn't really have a lot of shit to look at, bro. Like, there isn't, like, a lot of historical stuff to go see and all that kind of stuff. Now, Montreal does kick ass, apparently, with restaurants and bars. Like, apparently, you guys kick some serious freaking ass with food. Like, restaurants all over the place. But there really isn't a ton to see, I was looking at in Montreal. Is that true? Am I missing out on something?
You mean, other than, like, a full sector that's, like, 1300 or 1400s architecture?
Like what? What are we talking about?
Is it old Montreal?
Oh, you talk about just like the architecture of Montreal is what you're saying. Okay.
Of that particular section of Montreal, old Montreal.
Okay. Some people say I should go to Quebec and go hang out Quebec there a little City. Bit. Huh?
Quebec's, well, that's a 2.5 hour drive.
Oh, it's
from Montreal.
Oh. Which is the one? It's not Quebec that's right next door? Which is the one that's close by? Is it Quebec? Is that considered close by?
2.5 hour drive.
Yeah, it's not that close, but okay.
No,
but,
there is no other main city.
No, next to it. So,
that's
okay.
Like really close by.
So,
I mean, there are other sites. There's a big attraction park on an island called La Ronde. You can go Mount Royal, after which Montreal is named, middle of the city.
Okay.
I don't know that it's loaded with quote unquote
it's not
tourist attractions, but there, and again, when you're going in the summer, there's one festival after another.
It is beautiful. That I will say, you're right, the architecture and all that kind of stuff. But I was like, how many like things to do? And it was, yeah, no, there aren't a ton attractions or things, you know.
I don't know what you're going in August, correct?
Yes, sir. Early August.
You should be still in festival season, dude.
Okay. All right.
Get pamphlets when you get there. I mean, like jazz festival, beer festival, comedy festival.
Oh, now we're talking.
Festival. Okay. I mean, you name it. There are tons of them in the summer because you can't go anywhere in the winter.
Right. Of course. Of course. Of course. Okay. All right. All right. I got a the food. I mean, wow, man, you guys kick some ass. I told Greeper, I go, bro, we're just going to go gain a bunch of weight because they got restaurants galore there, bro. And apparently bars are also very, very, very popular there too in Montreal. Yep. So it's pretty cool. All right. Did you finally get to see the conversation between Mike McDaniel and Mike Silver?
I did on and off. Maybe it's because I've listened to Mike McDaniel talk, and there's a lot of the things that he was saying early on. It wasn't necessarily grabbing me that much, but I caught the gist of it.
Did you catch the whole Tua stuff?
I caught some of it, and I don't know that there was anything that really jumped out at me as being stuff that he hadn't mentioned before.
You mean when did he tell you that Tua was the best quarterback he's ever had for this offense?
For his offense, he had said that before. For his offense, he had said that before.
Really? I never saw that.
The analogy was out there before. The 700, watching 700 plays was out there before.
Well, no, it wasn't the 700 thing. It was more about what he talked about, how he made the tape to then tell everybody first how he was thinking. And then he went and made the tape for Tua on top of all of that. But he made the shorter tape first for those guys. So it was a little different story that he was talking about. You know, he gave a little bit more with Mike Silver. And the other thing I think that came from that conversation, you probably won't admit it, but it clearly comes from the second that McDaniel's been here, Tua was never going anywhere. Ever. Ever. Not even close. No thought, no talk, no nothing from second he got here.
And I'll resent your you want a minute. Why wouldn't I admit it? It was
okay.
Clear.
I just want to make sure.
And also part of the mandate. Well, dude, give me some benefit of the doubt. I am fair, even though we don't always agree, and I don't always like go like this. Yeah. I am fair, and it was always very clear. And part of the mandate in hiring Mike McDaniel is that Mike McDaniel presented the Dolphins with a vision of this is how I'm going to make it work with Tua. And for the offense he ran, especially once they got Tyreek Hill, Tua's ideal for that offense. And then sure. I never disputed that for a millisecond.
Well, by the way, whatever he said in the initial meeting, he still didn't know what he knew until he made that tape that he got there and he started making a tape. And then he said he started to realize that Tua makes throws that a lot of quarterbacks are afraid to make. And he started, you know, explaining that to Mike Silver, that it's like, okay, we have a gold mine here, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think that's the other thing, that he could tell him about what offense he was going to run and all that, but he really didn't convince himself until he got to the building and started to make that tape.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, that's what he said, right? That's what he said in that interview, right?
Like I said, I watch a lot of it, and some of it, I was in and out, to be very honest with you, because a lot of stuff was kind of very slow developing. It's an hour interview.
Wait, you don't have attention span or something? What's wrong with you?
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
You don't have an attention span or something? What's wrong
with
you?
I'm being funny. That's why I just said what you said.
I know.
Come on, play along with me.
I know. Well, I kind of did by acting dumb and saying it again. That was kind of the idea. Anyway, so you start to look at this situation now. Off of that conversation, one of the things he did say, and again, you didn't hear the whole thing, but maybe you heard this part. But when he first met with them, right, with the front office and all that, the guys were like, "We need to build up the offensive line," and he was like, "No, we need to go get weapons." But he didn't want to tell them, "No, you guys, we need to do this." because it's, you know, I don't want to tell you you're wrong, I'm right, that kind of stuff. So that's where he went to make the tape to explain to them what he wanted in his vision, and then they went and got the weapons. And I and last year, like he said, the front office guys were telling him, we got to go get offensive linemen and build, which they did also. But I just get the feeling that that's still a thing here. They don't need more weapons outside of maybe a tight end. And I think that that third round pick is going to be that tight end now. I'm almost convinced that 51 is really a lineman. What do you think?
Interchangeable, can be flipped. I strongly believe that those two first picks will be tight end, offensive lineman, or offensive lineman, tight end.
I just have a problem when I look at the draft. I don't, and you're good with this too. I don't know if the tackle you get in the third round is the same as the guy you could get at 51. The guard might be the same, but the tight end actually might be the same playmaker from second or third round. But the tackle may not. There might be a drop there. And at 51, from what I'm looking at, you're going to have some names there. You're going to have a couple guys.
Yeah. Here's my thing, though. And I'm not convinced with the tight end not having a major drop off from second round to third round. And I also think, and as I wrote on All Dolphins, according to Irv Smith Jr., before he signed with the Bengals or agreed to turn with the Bengals, he was talking to the Dolphins. He said he basically chose the Bengals over the Dolphins, which tells you they want a pass catcher because Irv Smith is not a people mover. And if you look at what's left in free agency in the NFL at tight end, that's not where they're getting a tight end who can do some damage in the passing game. So I think
– Irv Smith is a decent player, but nothing special.
He joins the Dolphins. He's immediately their best receiving tight end.
By default, unfortunately.
It's a low bar. It's a low bar, I understand.
Yeah.
But to me, I think they can get that kind of pass-catching tight end in the second round. And then still thinking they can get a veteran offensive lineman. Remember, there's still a lot of veteran offensive linemen on the market if they want to attack and get the right tackle there. They're the same guys we talked about earlier this week. Still out there. There's been very little free agent movement this week.
Nothing.
So you still have Brandon Shell still out there, George Fant still out there, Billy Turner still out there, and that's without even me looking at the list. But I did check the list of tight ends, and there is nothing. The biggest names are Cameron Brate, Mercedes Lewis, Kyle Rudolph, and all of those guys are on the very, very easy downswing of their career. So that's why I'm thinking more second round's going to be a tight end. And your offensive tackle is going to come either in free agency or in the third round if you haven't gotten them.
Let's see if it ends up happening. Will Odell Beckham sign here since he lowered his price to $15 million per year now?
That's funny. No, but if he goes to 13, maybe. No, I'm just yeah, no. No, not happening. Their scuttle buddy could wind up with the Jets.
Who's going to sign him for 15?
Not for 15.
How high are you, bro? Who do you think you are, bro? Come on. First you started with 20. Now you're down to 15. You're injury prone. You're unreliable. You're a head case at times. You propose to kicking nets. You fight with kicking nets. You know, you wear pants on boats in South Beach. I mean, you do a lot of weird stuff. You want $15 million a year? Come on.
Got a bipolar relationship with the kicking nets.
Yeah.
No, but he could wind up, at a higher level, but could wind up doing something like Gesicki's doing in New England, which is
incentive.
Incentive-based. You know, once he realizes that nobody's giving him $15 million, you know, and it'll keep going down, and at some point he may like, okay, give me this, but then jack up my money if I reach certain incentives.
With you there. All right. What do you know anything about the Brandon Shell situation? Because I find it like he hasn't signed anywhere and he played well for you. Have you heard anything on that front?
No, and I did some digging and I'm not coming up with anything other than there was a word he was meeting with the Bills. And it's weird to me. And I get it. I understand that there's the first big wave. There's usually a lull. But I don't recall a year when it slowed to such a crawl in the second week of free agency, or the third week of free agency. But the lull is actually kind of not unusual, and it's going to pick up at some point. Certainly after the draft, if it drags on that long, certainly after the draft, guys like him and Turner and Fan and all those guys, then they'll get picked up once teams see what they were able to fill through the draft and what needs they have left. But I'm actually kind of surprised, and it could be that he's holding out not only for money, but for also for a situation where he feels he has a legitimate chance to start. And I don't know what the Dolphins have communicated with him. I would like to think that at the very least they tell him, certainly if they told Dan Feeney you're going to get a chance to compete, they should tell Brandon Schell you're going to chance to compete also.
The owners want to do something incredibly stupid and insensitive, and really it goes against everything when you tell me you care about player safety. Adding a flex to a Thursday night game, what can the NFLPA do about this? Because to me, I've said for years, you need two bye weeks, bro. You have to have two bye weeks. You have to have one for every Thursday night game. For every Thursday opponents, they all should be off the week before. And then that way they get 10 days after that. It doesn't seem like you're adding a second bye week to kind of, you know, accommodate all those kind of things. Plus, if you're flexing, it's going to be really hard to do that. And all of a sudden, you're going to be surprising teams. You could be knocking out good teams from the playoffs, because if you're using good teams late, they might suffer key injuries. And you're screwing fans over who may have plane tickets and hotels and stuff like that, that then they have to now cancel and reserve again. And, you know, short notice airplane flights, as you know, very, very expensive. So talk to me about this, because it's a mess and it makes no sense whatsoever.
No, and you kind of covered everything there was. But you and I are both old enough to remember that there was one year in the NFL when there were two bye weeks. It was 1993, I want to say. I don't recall the NFL going completely out of whack. It was a one-shot deal. They never did it again. I'm not sure why. I don't see any major issue. I think players would welcome a second bye week, especially if, as you suggest, they make it so that if you play a Thursday night game, you have a week by the week before. And one big issue that you mentioned with the flex late in the season, along with screwing over the fans, those who make plans to fly out of town, and there are a lot of those.
Yeah, man.
Is imagine you're the team, and because like you mentioned, it's usually they're going to flex teams that are in a playoff race. You're in a playoff race, and you were scheduled for a Sunday. Go ahead now. You're going to go play on the road on the Thursday night against another quality opponent. Those games are tough to win. Usually, if you have two good teams, the home team's going to win. Usually.
Yeah.
So now you're giving a major advantage to the home team in that game, and you make major disadvantage to the road team. And no, it kind of completely sucks. If I'm being purely, purely selfish from a fan standpoint, from a viewership standpoint, yeah, it'd be cool to be able to get away from crappy Thursday night games late in the season, like last year. Was it the Jets and Jacksonville? I think it was. Oh.
Yeah, no, they were brutal.
That was so brutal, but. I think the sacrifice of having those kinds of games outweighs all the shit that would come with it. I'm with you on that. I think it's
what can the NFLPA do about this? Can they stop it? Can they say no? We're not going to allow this. We're not going to allow our players to play in this. Or can they do something about this? That's the part I don't know.
No, I don't know either. And the truth is, I have on my laptop somewhere the whole collective bargaining agreement, and I don't know if there's anything in there that the NFL would have to get their approval to institute that other flex. I honestly don't know. I'd have to think that the NFLPA would be kicking and screaming about this, though.
Yeah. You don't put anybody at an advantage there. The only ones that win are the owners, because the checks are going to clear. And by the way, if you add another week with the bye week, that's another week that you generate revenue.
It's more money. It's more inventory. I don't understand.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. All right, what do you got going on in alldolphins.com, my friend?
Today I did – it's funny, we talked about the draft. I did a story looking at all the national mock drafts that have come out that extend beyond the first round, because sadly the Dolphins, again, don't have a first-round pick, and who they're targeting. And the most popular choices for the second and third round are tight ends and offensive linemen. As we discussed, And Omar just wrote a column addressing the Get Up segment this morning where they were doing their way too early predictions on the AFC East.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Follow him on Twitter at PoopartNFL and catch him twice a week here doing his thing with our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report. And don't forget to bookmark AllDolphins.com. That officially makes you a real Dolphins fan when you bookmark AllDolphins.com. Poopart, have a great weekend, my friend. We will catch up next week.
See you in April.
Thank you, sir. You got it. See you in April. Good stuff there. That's our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report. And please call Eric at EJD Construction, Dade or Broward counties only, because I've gotten some of our folks, I've gotten them a little pissed off at me because they called Eric and like, you know, we don't service Palm Beach. And that's my fault. It's only Dade and Broward County. A lot of our listeners have been calling because they've been wanting to upgrade their roofs because they got to renew their policies, their hurricane policies. And they're finding out that, hey, if your house is over 20 years old, you need to upgrade your roof, folks. Call them 305-433-4843. Got all kinds of listeners doing all kinds of different things, like building an extra room. Another one that built an observation deck. I told you about that a while back. All kinds of different projects. One of our listeners having their entire home remediated because of a fire. And the other thing that EJD Construction does that a lot of you may not, most contractors probably don't do this. Every day you have an app that you're going to, once you become a customer, you have an app that goes with it. And every day they take pictures on the progress being made in your property. So whether you're there or you're not, you're always going to be getting them every day. And you can see the progress being made every day. It's really a cool concept. And EJD Construction does it. Go to their Instagram page. Go check out a lot of the work that they've done. But if you live in Dade and Broward County and you're looking for custom home construction and or major home remodeling, you want to modernize the kitchen, you want to build out a man cave. Exactly. You want to build out a man cave. You want TVs coming out of the roof or the walls or whatever. EJD Construction, 305-433-4843.
You've been listening to the EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins Report with Sports Illustrated's Alan Poopart. For additions, home remodeling, and custom work, call Eric at 305-433-4843. EJDConstruction.com is your custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
All right. Don't forget, folks, to smash the hell out of the like button. It is very important that you smash the like button and get the algorithms going, man. Appreciate it. Bitcoin hit 29,000 last night. That was nice. Went back down now. It's in the 28,000, low 28,000, like 28,200 right now. But that's kind of the way it goes. But it broke through that ceiling. Now, it did that a couple times when it broke 25 and then it came back down and then finally exploded out. I think we're going to get some here in either by tonight or tomorrow, and we're going to be hitting 30. I think it's going to happen very, very soon. Panthers, great win last night against the Maple Leafs in overtime, 3-2, as Ekblad fires off a shot that Reinhardt is able to redirect for the game-winning goal. He also had an assist in the game. Alex Lyon had 38 saves. You know, the other day, Lyon sucked. And last night, Lyon was pretty freaking awesome. Lundell and Montour had goals yesterday. Montour also had an assist. They've got the ninth spot right now with 81 points. Pittsburgh is in the eighth spot with 82 points. And tonight, they're back in action at the Bell Center to take on the Canadiens. So we shall see what happens, but nice little win yesterday for the Panthers. That was fun to watch. It was a lot better watching that than watching the Heat. The Heat game just pissed me off last night. That's all it did. It just absolutely pissed me off. By the way, for just rock concert purposes, can you pull that thing up? This new concert was just announced in California. okay? It's called the Power Trip Festival. It's October 6th through the 8th. Tickets are expensive, okay? Yeah, I'm not going to go. But it is loaded, bro. AC/DC, Iron Maiden, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Ozzy, Tool. Holy moly, dude. General admission for 3 days is $600 plus the fees. General admission with the shuttle is $700 plus the fees. 3 day reserve floor seats. The section 5 is $799 plus fees. Section 4, $999 plus fees. Section 3, $1,099 plus fees. Section 2, $1,400 plus fees. Section 1, $1,600 plus fees. 3 day reserve grandstand seats for P3 section, $1,100 plus fees. For the P2 section, $1,400 plus fees. If you want a 3 days in the pit, it's only $1,600 plus fees. Holy shit. $1,600 plus fees. The fee is probably going to be like another $200, dude. Because it's so ridiculous. It is in Indio, California. That's where they hold Lollapalooza, I believe. That's where they have Lollapalooza. Or is it Coachella? Coachella. Yeah, Coachella is where they do Indio. And, yeah, I mean, listen, I've seen all those bands. So, to me, be awesome to go enjoy. And they're going to have more bands, too. It's not just going to be those bands. Those are the headliners. They're going to add more bands to the whole thing. But wow, that's a lot of money, dude. That is a lot of money. Holy moly. I saw that and I was like, okay, not bad. Pretty good show. And if you've never seen any of those acts or a few of them, I guess it's a good way to kind of catch up and get to go do that. Give you a little more music news and talk a little bit about what happened today in music history. And we had a couple of interesting things happening on March 30th, on the history of March 30th. We start off in 1992 on this date. In Bearsville Studios in Woodstock, New York, REM began recording sessions for their Automatic for the People album. What a great album that is. In 74 on this date, the Ramones played their first ever show. It took place at New York's Performance Studio. In 85 on this date, Phil Collins started a two-week run at the top of the singles charts with One More Night, his second number one song in America. In 2004 on this date, Marilyn Manson fired his guitarist, John Five. When asked why he was axed, the rocker said, maybe it's something had to do with the fact that I don't drink or do drugs. John Five, by the way, is now the guitarist for Motley Crue. Okay? So while Mick Mars retires, John Five has been the guitar. He's a good guitarist, by the way. Really good. In 75, Jeff Beck released his first solo album, Blow by Blow. In 67 on this date, the cover for Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band as photographed at a London studio cardboard cutout and wax figures were used to represent the Beatles. Heroes like Edgar Allan Poe, Lenny Bruce, Bob Dylan, and others. In 2003, Limp Bizkit, it's all about the he said, she said, unveiled their new guitarist, Mike Smith, who replaced Wes Borland. Borland left the band in 2001 due to creative differences, but returned in 2004. And in 84 on this date, Greg Lake left Asia, was replaced by the band's original bassist and singer, John Wetton. That, my friends, is what happened today in Musica History. All right. There you go. Loaded. So you know the Marlins are cheap, right? But you know that the Angels are also cheap. You know, the team that has two of the greatest generational players in the history of the game. And they have, really, Artie Moreno does not deserve to be an owner in baseball. Artie Moreno is such a joke. Really. But you know what Artie Moreno's now doing also, which what he's been doing for a couple of years now? Okay, the Marlins are cheap, but at least they have a radio broadcast team that goes on the road. The Angels owner, well, guess what? For the fourth consecutive season, the Angels radio broadcast duo of Terry Smith and Mark Langston, you remember Mark Langston, the pitcher? Yeah, we'll have to call road games remotely from inside Angel Stadium, like they do in soccer. In soccer, they don't have them travel either. Right. Yeah, well, we had COVID, but I'm sure they're not traveling anyway for radio. I'm 1,000% sure they're not sending them. Anyway, the Toronto Blue Jays are the only other Major League Baseball team with the same arrangement. He says, we found out that it's not changing. We love our radio people. They do a great job. We just found that the economics, 40,000 to 50,000 miles, is not going to change the experience. An industry expert who's in charge of the financial budget in different MLB teams, the radio crews, the cost for the team between $185,000 to $200,000 for the season. That includes hotel expenses, a per diem that covers food and other necessities. That does not seem like a significant issue for an MLB team, and 28 other teams obviously feel it's not. You know how cheap it is? And this is why this piece of crap, Artie Moreno, should sell the team and get the hell out. Listen, man, if you can't play the billionaire's game, don't get in it. That's all. Artie Moreno, you're a minor leaguer. That's it, bro. The guy we got here in town, you're a minor leaguer, dude. You don't have the money to play with the big boys. And by the way, why does Major League Baseball continue to allow people in their business that cannot compete? Bruce Sherman doesn't have the money. Jorge Mas had the money. Mas Brothers had it. And Artie Moreno, I mean, that's a joke, dude. And you're gifted Trout and Ohtani. It's ridiculous. Seriously, what a waste for Mike Trout to have to be his entire career in that crap hole. And then Ohtani, I would ask for so much money that it would force the Angels to trade me. You know, I hope Ohtani and Trout end up in real teams. But I just have a feeling that Trout will end up getting old there and it's over. He's already got a back issue, as it is. A serious back issue that's only going to get worse as time goes on. Anyway. You telling me they would sell Marlins to Moss Brothers? This sucks. Well, they had a chance to sell it to the Moss Brothers, but they chose Jeter instead with Bruce Sherman because they wanted Jeter in the business. Because it's good for baseball to have Derek Jeter, one of the great players, and yada, yada, yada. But, brother, Jeter has to be teamed up with somebody that actually has the money. Jesus, really? Draft Hendon Hooker at 51. Okay, whatever. Fins up 15. Party in baseball. Spending is pathetic. For God's sake, the freaking Red Sox are too cheap to even field a competitive team now. Yeah, but at least they've spent money and they've won some championships for their fans. Well, I don't know about broke, Matthew. We're broke compared to Sherman. But compared to billion-dollar owners, yeah, he's... he's a minor leaguer, bro. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. Give me 2 minutes here. Top of the hour. Get ready for hour number three, live from Hialeah Park, right here on the Big O Radio Show.